Blog Talk Radio.
Soulvox Radio presents Evolve with your host, Robin White Turtle Disney.
Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Disney, and the show is Evolve. And my special guest today is Adrian Jurek. He's a Canadian filmmaker and also a psychologist, and as a world traveler, he loves to travel to all parts of the world and interview people. And so, welcome to the show,
Robin. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great to have you. So, tell me, how did you get started in filmmaking? You've had such a diverse career in education and psychology and filmmaking. So, how did you get into filmmaking?
So, Robin, I've been a counselor for a long time, for at least 10 years. I've worked with children for a long time, and I've worked with adults in private practice, and I've also led wellness retreats for people in midlife transition. So counseling is my background. It's my natural calling. 3 years ago, I went to, at the suggestion of a friend of mine, mm-hmm. an author, she suggested that I go and attend, that I look into Nick Askew, who is a filmmaker, a British filmmaker who now lives in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you've got to have a look at the work he's doing. He's really doing some remarkable work. Mm-hmm. It's not just filmmaking. It's not just interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
People are really showing up and surrendering and speaking from a different place within themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're really going to be interested in this. So sure enough, I did that. I went to his website, nickaskew.com, and immediately I realized that he was doing with a camera what I was doing as a therapist.
Mm.
He was holding a particular kind of space for people,
mm-hmm.
Inviting them to access parts of them, to speak from parts of them that didn't normally get invited into the world.
Mm.
There was an element of his stance was sort of non-critical, non-directive, non-judgmental. And what that did is it prompted people to really go deep and explore some real inner landscapes that maybe they hadn't even realized were there. And when I saw that, I recognized that's what I've been doing. And I need to see what he's doing. So when I saw that, when I saw what Nick was doing with the camera, I immediately recognized myself and what he was doing, and I thought, I have to go and see what he's doing. So I went on one of his retreats. It was 2016. It was in England.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a six-day intensive,
oh.
during which we sat, and he showed us his technique that he had developed himself, really that consisted of sitting opposite somebody, very intimate distance, sort of. You know, you're sitting opposite each other, your knees were about a foot apart, and there's a camera between you, and he sat in utter silence, and he just waited for whatever needed to come forth, and I had some remarkable experiences that day in front of his camera. Some stuff came forward that about my father, who had recently passed away, some really strong emotion that I hadn't realized was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the presence of six or seven other people who were also in the workshop,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't think that I'd be able to be that vulnerable and surrender to explore those feelings in the midst of that company of those people who I'd just only met.
Mm-hmm.
But something about his manner, something about the space that he created, the safety that he created, allowed me to really go in there and explore that. And
mm-hmm.
And I immediately went away and I began to do that work myself. I recognized that, in fact, had been doing very much the same thing as a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But now I wanted to capture it, and I wanted to do this work with people. But now the additional benefit was that they could then, I could cut a film for them, and it might be an hour session we might sit for, but I could cut a film for them that was a distilled look at the moments when they truly showed up most.
Mm-hmm.
As human beings, when they truly, when their eyes widened and their nostrils flared and they truly took a chance, and you could tell in their body language that they were exploring something that was frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some part of them that was going to step forward anyway and talk. So what I did was I was able to cut a film that consisted of those moments and then give that film back to those people so that they could then witness themselves in a way that you simply can't in a therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
In a therapy session, you forget what you've said soon after you've left, unless you've been taking notes. But this is remarkable because the epiphanies, the insights, you often say things you didn't know that you knew,
mm-hmm.
using words you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that captured and then to have that given to you in a way that you could replay it again and again,
mm-hmm.
and to catch yourself speaking your truth is a remarkable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized what a service that was to the people who I was working with and for.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized that surpassed what I had been doing as a counselor. And I thought, this is my new calling. I no longer want to be a counselor who in any way stands in any shape, in any position of knowing. So when I film, when I turn the record button on, I'm standing in a position of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
My attitude is, I don't know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Neither do you, really.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can trust what might be about to occur, and if we can trust that something rich might come out of it, if we just surrender,
mm-hmm.
then something might happen that might be very interesting. And
yeah.
Very often it does.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I was noticing that in your website, you work through Vimeo.
I do.
And your website is Backcountry...
Treks and Films.
Treks and Films.
Yeah.
So you can find his website on the... and see some of the films that you've made, because you've done a number of different ones about people in transition, largely, that have lost people or who are working in Mexico doing elder work, like redefining what it is to be an elder, which is fascinating. So how did you find these people? Were they friends or were they people that you were working with, or... I mean, how did you run across them? Pick those specific ones to put on the website? Because I imagine you have others that you've done.
Yeah, the ones on the website are the people who've given consent
mm-hmm.
to have their films there. I've made others where I simply haven't, posted them. But the first film I made was of a friend of mine, an author, Becky Livingston. And I knew her fairly well. I'd known her for 6 or 7 years by this time. And
mm-hmm.
Her story is she had lost a daughter, a 21-year-old daughter, to brain cancer. And and then shortly thereafter, the love of her life to brain cancer. And so it utterly called an end to one way of living that she had been used to.
Oh, good heavens, yeah.
But I knew she had the courage. I knew that the journey that followed... after that loss, the traveling around the world with her daughter's ashes and leaving her daughter's ashes, I knew that she was courageous enough to talk about it. And so when I asked her, I said, Becky, I just finished this workshop with Nick Askew. And in fact, she was the one who recommended it to me. So I said, Becky, how about it? Would you be interested in talking about the process of writing the memoir? And so she was the very first person who I filmed. And the film was intended to be, I said, how about we talk about the process of you just writing your memoir? What was it like over the steps? And it ended up being that, but also much more. She went far deeper into some emotional terrain that even she didn't expect. So it was remarkable. So she was my first one. And then people since then have been, again, people who have identified who I have, I've known them, or I've worked with them, and they've all signaled to me in one way or another that they did have the courage and did have the willingness to talk about something painful.
Mm-hmm.
And usually are women. I've usually found that it's the women who have the courage to really go deep into the places that are very, very sort of difficult to be in. And but it's been one person after another, and gradually, people have talked, and they've come and found me, actually. Mm-hmm. In many cases, I haven't posted the films because they're private, but
mm-hmm.
but that's how it started.
Yeah, how exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I noticed that you did, the transition seems to be important in many of the films. Like they were at a point where they had, you know, they talked about a loved one, or they were, you know, that there was a major transition with this elder camp down. I don't remember the name of it, but it's looking at cultural shifts for people, rites of passage. And
right.
So that really fascinates me, because my first book was on rites of passage. So I really was very excited about seeing that, because it isn't documented much in our culture that there are people doing rituals or doing things to help them transition from one phase of life to another.
Right. Right. So yes, in fact, it was at one of Nick Askew's film intensives where I met somebody who connected me with Chip Conley.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a lot of writing. Wisdom at Work is his latest book.
Mm.
And he's established something in the Baja Peninsula called the Modern Elder Academy. And it is a midlife school for midlife wisdom. It's for people who are re-examining and retooling, and not retiring per se, but retooling, and bringing to consciousness what they now have to offer to the world. And so it's a remarkable movement that he's leading and sponsoring. And I was just frankly curious, and I reached out to Chip and I said, I lead wellness retreats for people in transition. I take them hiking. We use poetry. We delve deep into that territory. Would you be interested in talking about what you're writing about and why it's important? And he flew me down to San Francisco and in January of 2019, and we sat, and it was just wonderful to meet. So it's been very sort of serendipitous, this community of people who are remarkably courageous and who are not shying away from, but rather leaning into life transition and to what it holds and to the promise that it holds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm attracted by courage. I'm attracted by people who choose to lean forward into what Pema Chodron has called the places that scare you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm attracted by that. And again, you know, those are my film subjects. Those are people who I'm attracted to sort of instinctively. And so, that's who I like to work with.
Yeah. Well, I can see how the teaching, the psychology, all these things you've done in the past have kind of fed into the filmmaking as a creative expression, but also as a way to help people see their development or where they've come from. Because a lot of times you hit a transition, you have to then integrate that experience into the next phase of whatever you're doing. And it sounds like that's what you were doing with your filmmaking, is you're looking at people's transitions. And then you were talking about that David White poem that you were talking about at the break. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. His poem, Finisterre, there's a line in the poem, and the line is, no way to your future now except to call an end to the way that you had come. It's a remarkably powerful line. It has to do with coming to the end of the Camino Santiago at a place called Finisterre, which is literally the end of the world. And the Romans, for the Romans, that was the end of the world. It's as far west as you could go during that period, during the Roman era. And for them, there was no further. That was the end of the world. But also for us, we've come to the end of a relationship, the end of a working identity, the end of something in our lives. We recognize that if we're going to continue, it can't be under the guise of that identity that brought us there.
Mm-hmm.
We can move forward, but not wearing the same shoes that brought us to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the filmmaking that I'm doing, it offers a chance for people to bring to awareness the things that have been on the periphery of their consciousness. They actually are very vaguely conscious of things that they have learned, but the act of speaking them out loud in front of the camera crystallizes, consolidates, constellates, brings things together into a form that that they haven't quite seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And they suddenly begin telling a new story that liberates them and that allows them to take that next step. Mm-hmm. To go back to the poem again, finished here, to go the way shadows go, which is across the water, which is a way that you can't go with the hiking boots that brought you there.
Mm-hmm.
You can continue, but you're going to go in a different way. And the act of, I think the act of writing, any creative act, any deeply creative act, is that act of calling into consciousness and speaking into the world a form of identity that hitherto hasn't been present, but suddenly it's materialized beneath your feet and you realize, this is who I've been becoming. This is who is now ready to come into the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you haven't quite been able to perceive that. It's just been on the periphery of your awareness, but something, a drawing, a painting, a lecture, a speech that you give, speaking your story on camera,
mm-hmm.
has that effect of revealing yourself to yourself, revealing what you've known all along. Some part of you has known it all along, but you somehow couldn't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's really fascinating, and we're going to take a little break and come back, and I want to continue that conversation because I think that this is something that people don't always experience or see is as valuable, and that is another emerging life coming out of your past and how that develops. I want to go there because your films definitely speak to that. And so we'll be right back. This is Robin White Turtle Lisney, and I'm with Adrian Jurek, and he's a filmmaker, and he's the first filmmaker I've interviewed, actually. So it's very exciting to have this conversation. We'll be right back.
Evolve, nurturing the new in consciousness, the arts, and culture, with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. We are all in great need of sustainable ideas for change. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of our times. Join us the third Thursday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for Evolve.
Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Lisney. I wanted to share with you some of the other things that I'm doing in the world beside this radio show. The first is I have a private practice in Capitola, California that reaches around the world, and you can connect with me through my websites, thecenterforthesoul.com and bluebonebooks.com. I'm also an author, and I have 7 books. The first was Dancing Up the Moon, the second Sacred Living, both by Canary Press in Berkeley, and then I had Heart Path, Heart Path Handbook, a CD on Heart Path, as well as 2 poetry books, Mosaic, which is the latest poetry book, and Poems for the Lost Deer. I also have another book that just came out called Ceremonies from the Heart for Children, Adults, and the Earth. And all of these are on my website, www.bluebonebooks.com. So now we'll go back to the show. Hi, we're back. This is Robin White Turtle Lisney, and the show is Evolve, and I am with Adrian Jurek, and he's a filmmaker from Canada who is doing really unusual things with filmmaking. We were just talking in the last segment about it, and then at the break, we began to talk about the influence of a particular poet, because you use a lot of poetry in your treks and your work and in your filmmaking, and so David White was the one we have in common,
that's probably right.
Among others, I'm sure.
That's right.
But you were telling me about the experience you had with him, where you were kind of stuck in a particular profession, and he was helping you move through the stuckness. So you want to talk about that a little
that's
bit?
That's right. That's yeah. right. I had been stuck in a role as a school counselor in the public school system in Canada. And was feeling unfulfilled and was feeling as though I had more to bring. I wasn't firing on all cylinders, and I had been spent years sort of reading and reading young and Joseph Campbell, and sort of waiting for clarity, as if clarity is something that you know that I needed to wait for, and it was going to come if I waited long enough. And finally, I heard about David's work quite by accident through a friend in 2011. I went to see him on Whidbey Island, went to see him speak, and then immediately recognized in some of the poetry that this was exactly the place of struggle that he was writing about in his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
The poem Start Close In is all about that desire to hide and not take that first close-in step and to overthink things and to wait for clarity. And I recognized myself in that poem immediately, and I immediately then signed on for his walking tour in England in July of 2011. And one of the days, the walking tours happened in the afternoon and the mornings. They tended to be sort of lecture format. And he was reciting Start Close In. And he and I had been talking loosely during the walks a little bit about my place of stuckness. And then he just turned to me in the face of 25 other people gathered in a circle in a lounge, and he looked at me point blank, and he said, essentially called me out. He said, look, stop waiting. You've got what it takes to do what you want to do. You want to do the guided walking treks with the poetry. You want to take people out onto the landscape as a means of taking them into their interior landscapes. You've got the experience with that. You've got the venues to do that. You've got the desire to do that. You've got everything you need. Just go. Just begin. Just take that first close-in step, that step you don't want to take. Just begin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a watershed moment for me. I came back in the winter of 2012 and began my first retreat. And it was everything I'd hoped it would be. It was all the elements of the poetry and the big questions and the outdoor sort of weaving in the outdoor experience and the metaphor from nature about everything's constantly in transition and loss as part of the cycle of renewal. And
mm-hmm.
all of these things wove together seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of tumbled together seamlessly. And I recognized I was onto something. And I guess I have David to thank for that, because he pushed me into just trying it. And, you know, it was the first retreat, so there were logistical things that weren't smooth, but it was the first of several that I led, and it's just such a gratifying experience. But this tendency, this very universal human tendency, to want to wait for clarity,
mm-hmm.
to want to wait so that I can see all the steps laid out before me,
mm-hmm.
and not to take the first step until I see all the sequence laid out before me. That's such a universal human tendency,
mm-hmm.
and it is the downfall of all kinds of artistic geniuses
mm-hmm.
and authors and creative types who simply never begin for fear of not being able to see the clear path all the way through.
Well, and don't you think we're at a time right now, Adrian, where we really have to jump? We have to start doing whatever it is that's going to save this planet and do the work that we have to do, the inner work, to really make the steps possible to overcome our fear. Otherwise, we just live in fear all the time. And we never quite move through it. And so I really feel like what David did for you was kind of prod you right into exactly what you needed to do. But I think we all are having to do that at this stage, in this time. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I think it's getting more imperative that we overcome fear.
You know, I'm going to respond to that. You're exactly right, of course, Robin. I'm going to respond to that with Mary Oliver and the journey and the voices of fear that shout, mend my life, each voice cried, mend my life. Those voices that shout, she's in that poem, she's trying to take that step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one day you finally knew what you had to do and you began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice. We all have these voices in us that prefer the devil we know, that prefer the stasis, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's suffocating. And our great challenge is to take that step, is to is to do what she does in that poem, the journey, which is to ignore those voices. It's already late enough and a wild night and a road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind and the stars began to burn through the sheets of cloud, there was a new voice that you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. That's heroic. That's a heroic journey.
Right.
And you can hear the symbolism in the storm and the branches falling and the rocks on the road and the difficulty of the passage and all the obstacles that have been put up in the way that we put in front of our own path.
Right.
We're happy to do that for ourselves,
right,
Robin.
Right.
And but that's our great. It's a journey no one who's opposed to said it's the journey that no one can take us, no one can take for us, and no one can spare us from.
Uh-huh.
It's that journey that we have to take. It's so hard.
Right.
So hard.
It is hard, but it's what helps us emerge as humans. I mean, it helps us make the people that we are as individuals. In that poem, The Journey, like probably one of the most amazing poems. I heard it once when she was reciting it in San Francisco, and there was an audience, and we were all reciting it together as she was reciting it, because so many people had been impacted by that poem. And it really speaks to that first step, taking that first step. And your films, I think what I love about them is that you actually help people see that transition, that first step that they're taking, regardless of the challenge that they've had to go through. And it sounds like, what I was impressed with was the byline that you have with your film company.
Yeah.
That basically, you know, discovering this world that people need to move into, that they've never trod before. They've never been in that world before, but now they're there.
Yeah, yeah. They are transformative journeys. A journey out onto the landscape is transformative. It transforms your consciousness and your awareness of your body and of nature. But the journey on camera is analogous to one that you take on a landscape. I use the metaphor of the backcountry. The backcountry is a place that's off the beaten path. It's up in the high country. It's remote. It's pristine. It's difficult to get to. And not many people will risk what it takes to get there. Yet the intuition is that there's something there that's valuable. There's something pristine. There's something wondrous about going there. And so going to the backcountry as a trekker, as a snowshoer, is a difficult journey. But what it requires is it requires fundamentally the courage to leave the path that you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of backcountry snowshoeing and telemark skiing. And if you're truly going to have an adventure, if you're going to have a life with any true adventure in it, it requires the willingness to leave the path that you know, and to go over that ridge, over into that next valley, because then you discover something that you didn't know was there. Nobody could have told you, and only you are able to see it. And so what happens on camera is that people make that decision. You're able to see it. I, as a filmmaker, can see moments where their eyes go wide and they hesitate for a second, and I can see in their shoulders and in their eyes the question they're asking themselves is, should I say this? Should I take this risk? Should I go off the path and say this thing? Because I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that moment when they take that chance that they say something that astonishes them.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of it astonishes them. They say, I don't want this anymore. I'm no longer this person. I don't want this relationship. I don't want this career. I don't want this identity. They say things, and reflexively their hand will fly to their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say something that almost is forbidden. But once having said it, there's no going back.
Right.
And it's remarkable to them that they'll continue because they realize there's no going back now. And the floodgates open, as it were, And then there's a relaxation, the shoulders will drop, and they'll begin to simply go, well, this is me. Why is this should be, why? There's almost a, not a resignation, but an acceptance that, you know what, this is okay. And then they begin to sort of relax into the, and the words begin to come from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to speak. In fact, it's, they're not actually speaking the words are speaking them.
Mm-hmm.
And a path, a new path is materializing beneath their feet, using words that they didn't know they had in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leading into a life very often that it's scary because it involves giving up. An identity that they had worked hard to build.
Mm-hmm.
But some part of them recognizes that this is the only true way forward.
Mm-hmm.
If I go back, I have to be small again. This is not... And going back is too small to contain who I'm about to become.
Right.
And there's
right.
an intuition we all have, I think,
right.
Robin, that that's the case. And so the filmmaking offers that kind of an opportunity, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think it's wonderful because it does also call your kind of sharing that moment with people in the filmmaking, and the filmmaking itself is doing that work. And it's kind of a double thing for the person as well as for you as you're discovering this together. And it's so much like therapy in a way, because in therapy you are discovering together what's shifting for the person and what may be difficult for them to recognize and what identities are dropping and what identities are emerging and their growth patterns and so on. So it's rich. It's a rich way to make films because it's not scripted. None of it's scripted. And that's what's really amazing is these are clearly not scripted films that you're doing. They're very personal.
Yeah.
And you're capturing that personal quality.
Yeah, you're right about the unscripted part. It's so unscripted that my eyes, I'm often taken aback because there's a part of me that tries to get a sense of where the person might be going next. But so often, more often than not, they will delve into a memory or have an epiphany or an insight that is so unpredictable, I can't even tell that it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, in the space between us, there materializes this truth that it rocks both of us, and neither of us knows what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'll just leave it in the silence. The shock wave, the blast wave of what's been said, you can't follow with anything. You just have to just let the silence just sit there. So very often in a film, somebody will simply, we will look at each other dumbfounded about what's just coming to the room, and we'll sit there for 10, 15, 20, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I never ask a question. I simply wait until he or she just decides to pick it up and continue.
Mm-hmm.
But that's real life. Real living is unscripted. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of
mm-hmm.
living on the edge, and
right.
it's remarkably rewarding. It's a privilege for me to be there.
Yeah,
it really is.
Right,
it really is.
Right. Mm. Oh, that's fabulous. Well, we'll be right back. This is Robin White Turtle Listening. The show is Evolve, and we're with Adrian Jerk, who is a filmmaker and from Canada, and has also been a counselor. So that's why part of why we've been talking about the counseling. So we'll be right back.
Evolve, nurturing the new in consciousness, the arts, and culture, with your host, Robin White Turtle Lisney. Evolve brings you people and ideas on the cutting edge of change, opening the shells of the past to move our culture into the now. We are all in great need of sustainable ideas for change. Evolve brings you the wise, the foolish, and the heart-based to help us meet the challenges of our times. Join us the third Thursday of the month at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, for Evolve.
Hi, this is Robin White Turtle Listney, and my guest is Adrian Jerk. It's a filmmaker. He's a filmmaker from Canada, and also has worked as a psychologist and an educator, and takes treks into the backcountry of various places in Canada and other places, I'm sure. And we were talking before the break about how this is impacting individuals, but I think it's taking it further than that. It's taking it, it's impacting the culture at large. Your films are this personal connection you have with the person that you're filming, and then the interview then becomes like this evolution that you're witnessing. While it's very personal and one-on-one, then whoever's witnessing that also can identify with the changes within themselves. And I guess what I'm wanting to say or talk about, Adrian, here is about the larger implications of not only your films, but of what's happening in the culture at large. Like watching these young people like Greta Thunberg, who is this young Swedish woman who's called out, global warming and how it's happening with people flying in on their jets to these meetings and, you know, really saying we need to do this now. We need to address climate change now. She isn't afraid at all of what people think of her or how she's going to proceed. She just does it, you know, and I think that your films have a quality of that kind of boldness or courage, as you mentioned before. How do you see your films impacting the larger transformations that are happening culturally? Because that's what I'm seeing in your films that struck me. And I don't know if you've thought a lot about that, but I have a sense that you have, because you're into transformation and how people transform in different circumstances. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, my hope as a filmmaker is not much different from my hope, the hope that a counselor or that a therapist would have, would be that something would get called into consciousness that had been latent, that had been waiting, waiting for permission, waiting to be invited. So my hope as a filmmaker is that I can create the right conditions for a person to feel brave enough to speak what it is that they've been wanting to speak,
mm-hmm.
to say what it is that they've been wanting to say, to speak their truth that perhaps they've been holding on to for years and years. And that's the hope as a filmmaker. If I can create the conditions for someone to take that leap, that courageous leap, and speak truth to power, speak truth to their trauma of the traumatic childhood, it's liberating. That act of speaking truth
mm-hmm.
is liberating profoundly. And then a person is fundamentally changed. Their story, their narrative of who they are is fundamentally changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then who they are in the world, how they enter the world is fundamentally different. My hope as a filmmaker is that I will begin to work with leaders, organizational leaders, entrepreneurs, leaders who have an instinct or an intuition that there is more in them. They want to explore the root of who they are and why they're doing what they're doing in the world. And they are going to take that chance, and they want to sit down in front of the camera and really explore what that is, even though it might be a little bit intimidating. My goal is that they try it and that they resurface from that deep dive with an awareness that they didn't have before. And that awareness fundamentally alters who they are when they go back into their leadership roles in the world, whether that be corporate or governmental or organizational. That's my hope, that they go back to their families at the end of the day substantially, qualitatively different,
mm-hmm.
More compassionate, more simply just more aware of themselves and the world around them. And I guess what's remarkable about the young woman, is it Greta Thunberg,
mm-hmm.
is that she already has that courage and conviction.
At
16, she has it. She's got it in spades, and she... So for me, there's nothing to call forward from a young girl like that. for her to go to Davos and speak truth to power the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. She's already well beyond needing me to call forth the courage to speak truth to power. I guess what I'm interested in doing is working with those, with older, with adults who have hidden from the truth for years and years and years, and
mm-hmm.
behind layers of roles and masks and guises, and I guess what I really want to do is just be a vehicle for awareness, have the experience, or provide an experience for people, for coming awake to.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe who they've been all along but haven't necessarily seen, or who they could be, which is larger than who they are today.
Right. And I think that awareness, I mean, them coming into greater awareness is going to impact the entire, all their relationships. And
yes.
It's their organizational leaders, that awareness is going to come into that work as well. So I think increasing people's awareness, even, you know, as these are one-on-one films, like you're having a conversation with this person or they're disclosing something about their life, there's a transformation they're coming into, and then that transformation helps them become more aware of where they've been and where they're going.
Yeah.
And that is going to help all of us, because we're all having to come into greater awareness.
Mm.
If we, you know, there's a line, I can't remember, I think it's a Rumi poem that goes, you know, don't go back to sleep.
Mm, exactly.
You know, you just can't go back to sleep. And it's an imperative that's repeated in the poem.
Mm.
And I think that we are all waking up in this culture, in our world, throughout the whole world, not just in the United States or Canada or Western Hemisphere, but we are really having to wake up to a greater reality of what we're doing environmentally, what we're doing with the earth, with each other. You know, there's a tremendous need to wake up
mm-hmm.
to recognize how we are being in the world. And through your films, I see that you're doing that with people as they're discovering this next step in their lives,
mm-hmm.
which then is going to impact and ripple out throughout their whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
And as our universes shift and change, then the world shifts and changes
mm-hmm.
and becomes more aware.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the transition I see happening right now, is people coming into more awareness and being more awake. So I'm just excited about your films because I think you're doing that
mm-hmm.
with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're interested in kind of witnessing through your films.
Yeah, I think fundamentally we all want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply we want to be seen. We want to be heard. Being listened to is tantamount to being held. The experience is qualitatively as powerful as being held physically.
That's beautiful.
Being listened to.
Yes.
It's David Augsburger who says something to that effect. Being listened to is qualitatively no different than being held.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do as a filmmaker is I try to create that listening environment that is almost like holding someone so gently and with so much acceptance that they can hear who they've been all along. They can see who they've been all along, and there's no need to hide.
Mm-hmm.
In this space, in this sacred space, there's no need to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You can, everything, all parts of you are welcome in this space. It's very much like a therapeutic space. All parts of you are welcome. And that's the idea with the film, is to create the experience for someone of truly being seen, not only by themselves, but by others.
Mm-hmm.
Because once people have that experience, and once people see other people having that experience, There's a recognition of a kind of a common humanity, and
right.
And then we put down the shields and the weapons, and we start to reach out towards each other. But the whole prerequisite is being seen.
Yes.
We will not sustain prejudice or enmity against people if we truly see them.
Yes, I totally agree. And that's what's amazing about transformational process that you're capturing in those films. They're simple in a certain way. They're very simple. You're interviewing someone, and yet on another level, there's an enormous transformation happening, and you're witnessing that transformation. That's what I find really fascinating. And that's how it changes us as we're watching it, or changing somebody in Australia who's never seen it before, you know, that now they're witnessing this film. And then they're transforming as a result of that. So I think it's really important work that you're doing on so many levels. So it's exciting to see filmmaking being used in a different way other than telling a scripted story.
Right.
You're telling human stories that actually happened, and you're documenting that. And that gives people an opportunity to reflect and to witness and to become more aware.
Well, so often we generate scripts because there are ways to hide. They're socially sanctioned scripts that we have at the ready because they're convenient ways for hiding and because we need to. Socialization is such that we have to conceal parts of ourselves. And so an unscripted experience on camera or with a therapist is remarkably rare, and we find it so powerful simply because we recognize, after a little while, we recognize that it is genuine, and I don't have to keep telling that same story. There's no need to hide. In fact, there's no way I could hide, really. You know, we do, all of us do initially when we sit down with a filmmaker like myself, but eventually we realize, why am I hiding? Why am I putting energy into that? Wouldn't it be so much easier just to relax and just let myself be here? What would it be like if I could just be instead of having to tell a story that you would find acceptable? Right.
Well, we're all raised, and especially people, I would say over 30, are raised with a tremendous amount of conditioning. I mean, you know, that's kind of the parent's job, is to give the kids an identity as a good person or as a good citizen, you know, to learn how to do social norms and rules and all of that. And I see that conditioning, which is what people often have to cut through and drop, it also can keep you bound up in a role rather than in that authentic process. So that authentic process that you're capturing in your films is actually showing this kind of naked experience that people have had. And also, like, the vulnerability. There's a vulnerability in the interviews that then kind of reveals what their next steps are going to be, or how can you transition? How can you move into this next reality? And you actually watch the people take those steps. So it's quite powerful. And I think it does inform our future. Like, how do we unfold? One of the things, you know, that older people have a perspective of what they've come through in order for a young woman like, you know, Greta Thunberg, to express herself. She stands on the shoulders of many people that have revealed themselves, have experienced transformations that they've had to go through in order to break open the conditioning from our parents or grandparents. And that experience of breaking that open then has, in some ways, created a platform for her to just be authentic and be who she is. And so I'm kind of curious and interested in that generational expression that happens. You know, I've seen so many young people coming, standing up to kids that down in Florida who went right to Congress and, you know, demanded gun safety in the United States. you know, the transformations that kids are stepping into power in a very young age, 12, 13, 14, 16 year olds. I mean, Greta Thunberg is only 16 years old, but she has the opportunity to do that because we've plowed through all kinds of conditioning that has been the standard and is now dissolving. And I see us kind of at a tipping point right now in the culture where we really have to step into with courage where we have to go. And that I think is part of what your films are showing, which I think is really exciting.
Courage is difficult to summon, and I like to think that sitting for a film is a courageous act in itself, but it also watching it for the rest of us to watch somebody on film entering really, really difficult terrain is also a deeply inspiring act. And it reminds us that all of us have the capacity, all of us have the ability to go in and to speak our truth and to and to speak from a really courageous place. It's within us all to do. And I think a film is a great medium for any print or digital media. It's a great way of making that experience, that exemplar, available to so many people. And if I can somehow contribute to that, that's wonderful. I love doing it.
That's wonderful. So tell everybody your website again and how they can find your films, because I think it's I hope a lot more people are going to find them.
the new website is under development, but you can still find it at www.backcountrytreksandfilms.com. That's the existing website, and there's a Vimeo library of films there. About 14 films currently that are there. A new website is coming with my name, adrianjurek.com. And so I'll be using both URLs, of course, for that. But yes, the films are gonna continue, and I'll be working with a modern elder academy, doing a little bit more work there coming up next month, and then a series about women called Hidden in Plain Sight is coming as well. Elizabeth White, Susan Florey, some very accomplished women. You know, it's all about the experience of being a woman, very accomplished and very highly regarded, and then suddenly having the phone stop ring when you're in your 50s. And it's about ageism at work in the workplace. So the series is going to be entitled Hidden in Plain Sight.
Oh, great.
And I will be looking to film and interview a whole variety of women from across different disciplines, just to bring that again into consciousness, because we are squandering a powerful resource when we take people who've spent their entire lives gathering wisdom and we fail to call on it, or we negate it. We somehow say that it's no longer valuable. So that series is coming. Personal, it matters to me deeply that sort of films get made, so, among others. So we'll see what else comes.
That sounds great. And you're working on a film here in Santa Cruz area.
I'm working with an author here, Anna Citrino, and I know Anna quite well from overseas teaching days, and so she's got some new work coming out, two new publications coming out, and so we'll be spending some time. I'll be looking to capture some of her work on film and to give it some visual presence, to add some luster to it, to the already rich verse that she's already put forth into the world. So I'd like to somehow to bring that into the world and to offer, you know, my skill as a filmmaker to doing it and seeing what comes of it. It's just I love working with authors. I think it's remarkable. The process of what writing takes from them and what writing gives back to them, and how writing transforms them. That's remarkably fascinating for me as a filmmaker. And I'll be looking for more authors to work with. So
great, great. Well, we'll talk.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for being on my show, and it's been a pleasure to have this conversation with you, Adrian. So I've been speaking with Adrian Jurek. He's a Canadian filmmaker and has a website,
www.backcountrytreksandfilms.
And he has his films there, and you can see them on the web. So thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Robin White Turtle Listening, and the show is Evolve.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time for Evolve with Robin White Turtle Lisney, Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m.